I've been thinking about how to do an introduction for this, and honestly, I'm a little bit at a loss for words because it is a fire hose of valuable YouTube information. If you have ever been curious when you upload a video to YouTube, if you're selecting the right buttons, you're not alone. I felt that way too. And so I wanted to talk to Connor Clayton, who is a YouTube expert, and have him basically kind of walk me through at a high level YouTube strategy, and then more at a granular level of what should I be selecting as I go through the upload video process? And what tags should I be adding? How many tags? All of those questions get answered. This is one of my favorite episodes I've ever done around YouTube. I'll be referencing it for a long time to come. But before we dive right in, number one, shout out to Connor for having this convo with me. Number two, prepare yourself because Connor is about to just drop right in with actionable YouTube strategies you can use that honestly, you would have to watch a lot of YouTube videos and probably take a YouTube course to get as much info as you're about to get in a matter of 20 minutes here. Please enjoy my conversation with Connor Clayton around YouTube optimization.
So the first thing you need to find out is your topics. So the best area that I would start into identifying a couple of things to talk about, go through some of the most frequently asked questions you might receive from your ideal client or your target customer. And what are some of the most common struggles that you have to deal with? And what are some of the most common problems that they come across? So there's a good way to start and planning yourself, okay, what can I talk about that I could potentially send people to or are going to answer questions that my ideal customers are going to have? So you could potentially even take the same approach as you might do with your carousels or on Instagram or however sort of the other way you actually make content around the board. But the only problem with that is, don't forget, YouTube is a search engine. It's not a social media platform. So we need to think a little bit differently. So once you've got your topics in mind, I want you to go to either Google or YouTube, and without pressing enter into the search bar, type in your most broad keyword. So for argument's sake, you're an Instagram coach, you might type in Instagram and then see what comes underneath. And that might give you some ideas of what you can actually talk about and what's more importantly, what things people are actually searching for on the platform. And then you can type in Instagram followed by A and then see what suggestions come underneath. And then you can close that and then by B and then followed by B and then C and then D and then E all the way down the alphabet until you basically exhausted all the way down to Z. And that should give you at least 20 different ideas of what you should start talking about. So once you've got that underway and you want to start filming, always keep in mind what you actually want your ideal viewers to do. So at the end of the day, we're a business. We want to use the platform to grow the business. So beyond like, subscribe, follow, share, or all that jazz, which is all well and good, but as we know, likes don't pay the bills. So we need to use the video to actually promote some sort of call to action, whether that's to join our email newsletter, to book a call with us, to download our free lead magnet, whatever it is. Always promote it during the center of your video. And you use the YouTube platform to constantly promote your call to action. So once per every single video. So always keep that in mind. So start with your ideal topics. Start with what the findings are from your keyword research, i.e. entering that your most basic keyword into YouTube or Google, and then seeing what the autofill suggestions are. And then thirdly, what call to action do you actually want these viewers of your videos to take?
Rewinding back to the beginning of what you said. So when you're in the like, all right, I'm going to like nail my topic. So you start with the title.
So not necessarily the title. So the keyword. So you want to start with the keyword. So let's say I'm an Instagram coach and I've done my research and I see the phrase Instagram mistakes is ranking pretty highly. So I might build my title then around that keyword. So I might say 5 Instagram mistakes or how do we phrase this? So I might take the keyword Instagram mistakes and then craft that into a title. So 5 Instagram mistakes you need to avoid. So you've taken that keyword and then you've crafted your title around that. So start with the keyword and then move on to the title, so to speak.
And then once you move on from the title, would that next step be how you approach the script?
Absolutely. So if I'm, we'll keep this hypothetical example on the go where I'm an Instagram coach. So I've done my research. I found the keyword Instagram mistakes is ranking highly and I want to target that keyword. I've crafted the title 5 Instagram mistakes you need to avoid. So I'm going to list down in my script all 5 mistakes that I see is most common on Instagram, what they are and how to avoid them. And I'm just going to keep it very, very simple. I'm going to use that part 1 to part 5 structure to make my video scripting structure very, very easy and very simple to follow. But after I've given part number 3, so after I've given mistake number 3, I'm going to briefly take 15 to 30 seconds maximum to briefly promote my call to action. And then I'm going to basically say, well, whatever that call to action is. So let's say it's to download my free ebook on how to smash Instagram in 2024. Like we're rolling with this, but I'm just looking an example out of my head. So in the middle of the video, I'm going to say, if you're enjoying these mistakes, I've got a free ebook here all about how to smash your Instagram content strategy in 2024. Let's get back to the video. And literally, I've taken 10 seconds, briefly promoted my call to action, and then I've got on with it. So anyone who is searching the term Instagram mistakes or has clicked on the video, 5 Instagram mistakes you need to avoid, they're most likely going to be interested in a free guide or a free ebook on how to smash an Instagram strategy in 2024. So that's how we actually promote our call to actions and get people to engage with our call to actions on YouTube. We find what it is we want to promote, which in this case is a free ebook on how to actually create an Instagram strategy. We find relevant topics that we know that people who are most likely going to be interested in this free guide are probably going to be searching for on YouTube. We use keyword research and search engine optimization to make sure we get in front of those people. And through the means of our video, we promote the lead magnet, we promote our call to action, and therefore expanding our business through the means of YouTube videos. That's how that works, essentially, in a nutshell.
Oh, that's it?
You just dropped like a ton of gems. Okay, so can we talk about scripting, like the actual video, like when we're talking? For myself, you know, I do a lot of solo content. I script some for the short videos. I'll typically script because it allows me to like really think about every word in a 30-second video. I've also done no script. I've also done summarizing kind of a key idea I want to talk about. Can you speak to the different approaches to scripting?
Sure. So these are all boiled down to what your actual personal preferences and what you find most easy. So if you want to go with the no script opportunity, so you've identified your keyword, you've identified your title. So let's go back to the previous example, 5 Instagram mistakes you need to avoid. If you're confident enough that you can confidently speak to camera with no interference, with no references whatsoever, 5 common Instagram mistakes that you've seen and how you can actually avoid them, and you just want to talk away to camera, you know, absolutely feel free. What you might find is then your video turns out to be 25, 30 minutes, 35 minutes long, and you might have to trim it down. But if that's how you feel you can produce the best sort of content, by all means, go for that. The fully scripted version is basically what it is, what it sounds. So it's where you plan out every single word of your content in great detail, whether that's just you sitting down and planning that script or with the assistance of AI, you know, however you want to approach it. So if you are going to do that, what I would recommend is having your script somewhere off camera. So briefly looking off camera, memorizing the first sentence of your script, delivering it to camera, pausing, and then briefly turning away again and memorizing the next 2 sentences or whatever it is, deliver them to camera, go back to the script, and then so on and so forth. And in the edit, you simply cut out the gaps. And then in regards to the other approach of simply summarizing your script, so let's take this example, 5 Instagram mistakes you need to avoid. I would simply list out each mistake, 1 to 5, on my script, but nothing else. So I'm just using it as a bit of a reference guide. So let's say, for example, the mistake number 1, failing to add a call to action at the end of your carousel. So that's a big mistake. But then if you're confident enough in your abilities that you can elaborate on that mistake, why is it a mistake and how to prevent that mistake in the future? If you're confident you can elaborate that without the need to follow a script, I would actually recommend that. Personally, I would recommend you start with fully scripted and then you transition over to summarizing your script, because like you want your natural personality to come out on camera. Like I know this is a bit of old advice, but at the end of the day, people follow you as a creator. They'll follow you as a business owner, the face of the business. They want to get to know you. They want to see your personality come through. So if you're just reading from a script and you suddenly come across as like almost like being a bit of a robot, like it's not, you can tell on camera almost. So, but if you can basically show that on camera and it's very smooth, so to speak, then by all means go for that. Like I said at the start, it's down to your personal preference and what works for you. I would thoroughly recommend starting fully scripted and then transitioning over to summarize, to a summarized script, because you almost want to treat it like a conversation. So like one piece of advice I gave the other day, how do I create short and sharp long form videos? So maybe like two to three minutes long. So I would almost say treat it like someone asked you a question. For argument's sake, you might put a question sticker on your Instagram story. And then obviously people will actually respond to those questions. And sometimes you might put that question on the story itself and then physically answer the question to camera. Simply take the same approach with a YouTube video. That would actually be a very good video in itself, to be fair. So if you've got a decent Instagram following and you put a question out on your stories, you can simply take the responses to that question and just, rather than filming yourself portrait to your front-facing camera and sticking it on stories, you could simply record yourself in landscape answering each of those questions and just reference it on screen. So a title might be 10 common complaints about Instagram stories, for argument's sake. And then you put that in your story and you might say, what are some issues that you have with Instagram stories? And then if you get 10 responses, you just simply respond to them on camera and boom, there's your YouTube video. You don't have to look too hard to find a good method for that.
That's lovely. And kind of skipping to the beginning of it,
sure.
What's like the best approach to starting a video? Like, you know, we talk about stopping the scroll on like social media videos to get someone stopping their action to watch the video. How do you start a YouTube video?
Sure. So always keep in mind, like I said before, that this is a search engine. Someone has found your video either through the means of actually searching for it, or they've seen it on a recommended for you tab. They've seen your thumbnail, they've seen your title, and they think, okay, I'll give that a watch. So they know what you're about to talk about. So always open the YouTube video with that knowledge and with that understanding that your viewer actually knows what it is you're about to talk about. Don't waste either of your time by telling them something they literally already know. So if I open a YouTube video, and the YouTube video is entitled 5 Instagram Mistakes You Need to Avoid. If I open that video with, hi guys, welcome back to the channel. But before we begin, don't forget to like and subscribe. Today, we're going to talk about 5 Instagram mistakes. You know, before you've even finished that sentence, they are off. They're bored. They're gone. The best way you can open the video is, right, the first mistake you want to avoid on Instagram is XYZ, and just literally just jump straight into the video. You don't need to stop the scroll, but you do need to hook them in. So the best way to hook them in my opinion, is just deliver on what you've promised in the thumbnail and the title, like immediately. Just get on with the damn thing and just flow from there. Because they've clicked the video to hear about some Instagram mistakes. Best thing you can do is just immediately deliver on what you promised.
And speaking of the thumbnail, how do we approach that bad boy?
Sure. No problem. So one of the most common mistakes I see on YouTube thumbnails is simply repeating the title on the thumbnail. Keep this in mind. So that the title of your YouTube video's job is to make sure that you get in front of the right people via the means of a keyword research optimization. The thumbnail is designed to entice them to click through. So let's say, for example, you might give a title for a YouTube video, the 10 new ways to create Instagram content, for argument's sake. Let's say that's the title. On the thumbnail, I might say something like, just a few words, this changed my life, or this changed my approach, or 300,000 new followers with it. You know, so like almost like illustrate the results of the video and illustrate the results that your viewer can expect to get. So if I launch a video entitled, let's say, how to retain an audience effectively on a YouTube video, I'm paraphrasing, I might say on the title, I might just simply put a percentage where it says plus 84% and then underneath retention. So I've given them the result of the video and this here's what they can expect. So now my job is to then deliver on what that thumbnail and what that title promises. So don't confuse your title and your thumbnail. Your title does the job of getting your video in front of the right people. Your thumbnail does the job of enticing them to click through. So give them a reason to click through and put like basically the result of your findings or something very, very enticing on the thumbnail.
Love it. Skipping to another part, quick best practices you could share around the description.
Certainly. To fully optimize a video, the description is actually a very big part of it. So let's take the keyword Instagram mistakes. So that our title is 5 Instagram mistakes you need to avoid. I need you to put that keyword in the description at least another 5 times. So you want to fully reinforce what your video is all about. If your title is 5 Instagram mistakes you need to avoid, I want you to include the term Instagram mistakes once in the first sentence, once in the second sentence, and then another 3 times throughout the description if you can. So you're reinforcing that main keyword. So whatever it is you write, whatever sort of copywriting practice you want to follow, but by all means, that's completely up to you. But make sure your keyword appears at least 5 times in the description.
Great. And you mentioned adding a call to action in the video. So thinking back, you know, all the way back to the keyword and then the title, and let's say that 5 Instagram mistakes idea, and say you had like a PDF lead magnet idea that you wanted to utilize in the video. You put that in. Do you direct people to the description and then you put the link in the description? Is that the best practice?
So the best practice is to do that in the description, and it's also actually to do it in the comments as well. So as the creator of the video, you have the ability to post a link in the comment section, and then you can pin that comment section to the top. So if you're promoting a call to action, the best thing you can do, have your link to your call to action within, maybe I'd say after the first couple of sentences in your description. Don't interrupt the flow of your description, but don't make it difficult to find your call to action link. Then also make sure it's in the comment section and pin it to the top. Because after any viewer typically has watched your video and they like what they see, they've had a look at the description, where's the next place to go? Where's the only next place for them to go? The comment section. The comment section is the next place they're going to go. So if you're pinned to the top as well, and it contains a link to your call to action, it's going to be fully clickable. Don't worry. YouTube allows us that very generously. Having it in the description as well as the comment section is the best. You're giving yourself the best chance of success for driving traffic from YouTube to your call to action.
Awesome. And a couple smaller things I would say, but maybe they're bigger, I don't know, that I have kind of like done along the way that I've noticed, and I don't really know how important they are, but I think a lot of us kind of think about them when we're uploading a video. First thing is, how important is it to upload an SRT file with your video?
I wouldn't say it's very important, to be honest with you. So if you have it available, by all means, utilize it. But once you've uploaded, so I'm going to assume you've uploaded the video in English. So once the video has been uploaded, then you select your channel language, you select English. Now, this is a very important tip, actually. So make sure English is selected, not English brackets Canada or English brackets United States or Australia or United Kingdom. Always make sure it's just English. And after that video has been on draft for a little while, you've basically told YouTube what language your video is in. So then it can apply automatic subtitles. So then you can go to the subtitle section and to captions. And there will be an option that says done by YouTube, and YouTube will automatically fill in the captions for you. What the best practice then I'd recommend is give it a quick scan and make sure that it's all correct. So it's AI at the end of the day. So it's usually only typically about 90% correct, but go through that and make sure it's all, make sure it's relatively accurate, because YouTube will actually do that job for you. But if you have the subtitles file exported already, then by all means, utilize that. However, just be safe in the knowledge that YouTube can actually do that job for you. One other thing you can do as well. So once YouTube has actually created those subtitles, it will give you the opportunity to download them. So if you wish, you can download your script and then you can throw it straight into ChatGPT, say, summarize this in maybe three main points. And there's a structure to follow, for example, for an Instagram carousel. And then at the end of that carousel, you promote that video. It's as simple as that. It's one of my favorite things to do.
That's a nice pro tip right there. And could speed up the workflow easy. What about tags?
Okay, so this is the final step for fully optimizing a video. So again, we're going to roll with the keyword Instagram mistakes. I've spotted the theme here. I'm pretending to be an Instagram coach for some reason. So the title is 5 Instagram Mistakes to Avoid. I've made sure the term Instagram mistakes appears 5 times within the description. In regards to the tags, I want to make sure that the first tag is Instagram mistakes. So your first tag has to be the exact keyword that you're targeting. Basically, that confirms to YouTube exactly what it is you're talking about. Any tag after that needs to be a variant of that keyword. So what I mean by that is, if I add any tag after that first tag that has either the word Instagram or mistakes, they reinforce that main keyword and they act as keyword variants. So you could simply say Instagram strategy, Instagram growth, Instagram carousels, Instagram stories. As long as it has some sort of variant of the main keyword, it will register and it will help reinforce your video. So basically, the main goal is to help YouTube understand what it is you're actually talking about and what the whole point of the video is. So if you fully optimize a video, so let's say you fully optimized your video for search, but the title isn't particularly great and the thumbnail isn't particularly great, you might see a poor view count or you might see a poor click-through rate, but your impressions will still be continuing to grow because YouTube knows what it is you're talking about and therefore it can show it to the right people. If it sees very good performance earlier on, it's more likely to show it to more and more people. Because at the end of the day, if you're playing by YouTube's rules, i.e. you are keeping people watching, that's what YouTube likes. Because if people are watching for longer on the platform, they're more likely to be shown more ads and they're more likely to click through to those ads and therefore, as a result, make YouTube more money. So if your video has the potential to make YouTube more money, it's most likely going to promote your content as much as it can. So yeah, so that's one thing to consider. But in regards to the tags, follow those steps. It's relatively easy to optimize using tags like that.
When we're talking about just the tags, Is it important if we're going to be filling those out to use all, I think, 500 characters that you can use? Or is it just the quality of tags is more important?
It's a very good question, that, to be honest with you. So in regards to that, if you, I would say a minimum of 15 to 20 tags, if possible. But if the quality of the tags are even better, so they, if they're longer tags, therefore they're obviously going to take up more characters. So it's not a 500 tag limit, it's a 500 character limit. Anything over 15 is realistically what you want to aim for. If you can fill the full 500 character limit, obviously go for it, because obviously you want to be doing all you can. But in regards to actually the number of keywords versus quality keywords, I would say it's a good mixture of both. So as a rule of thumb, try and aim for a minimum of 15.
Is it best to choose how to and style for like even educational videos? Like which subject do you choose or category?
I would say it's probably best practice to cover as many different categories and as many different areas as you can, because now is the time to experiment. So you want to experiment as much as you can, not only with topics, not only with styles, not only with recording practices, i.e. is it just you speaking to camera? Is it you speaking with someone? Is it a snippet of a podcast? Is it a screen share where you're walking them through a particular process? Experiment as much as you can. And you, what you'll naturally find is some videos naturally tend to perform better. So concentrate 80% of your time on the 20% that works. So if you've uploaded 100 videos, and I know it sounds extreme, but believe me, this is the sort of territory we need to be looking at. If you've uploaded 100 videos and only 20 of those are screen share, and they are doing so much better than the rest, it's very obvious what your audience prefers. So double down on what works.
Got it. I don't know why I thought that if you chose like something other than how to and style, it wouldn't like push it out the same, but it doesn't really matter, I guess.
It's 80% what you deliver and 20% how you deliver it. So let's say I'm filming on a really bad, low quality camera, but I'm dropping incredible value, versus a creator who's got this nice 4K setup, LED lights everywhere. He spent thousands of pounds on the setup, but he's just talking absolute rubbish. Like 9 times out of 10, I'm probably going to do better than that guy, because I've answered the query, essentially. So I've answered the thing that someone's searching for. I've delivered on my thumbnail. I've delivered on my title by giving really good advice, as opposed to the guy who looks great but doesn't really do anything. So don't be put off by, I need a big setup, I need to make sure everything looks great. I mean, granted, you don't want to look like you've been filmed on a potato, but at the same time, that's not your priority. The what you deliver versus how you deliver.
Thinking through like the last steps here, if I don't ask this, I'm going to keep me awake at night. End cards, those like other two options where it's like, do you want to add like a call to action or a playlist or something in there? Is it important to choose those features?
So until you're actually monetized, you can't actually drive people off platform. So if you're monetized at the end, you can actually add a customized link and send them off platform. As a business, once you've unlocked that, that's thoroughly what I would recommend. However, until you actually achieve that, you want as much watch time as possible. So you need for at least 4,000 hours watch time to unlock that. So you can drive someone to a playlist, or you can drive someone to a video, a specific video that you'd recommend. So there's two other options. You can let YouTube decide what video is best for the viewer, or you can actually choose your most recent video. So again, experiment with that as much as you can, but I would also incorporate that into the video as well. So let's say I'm talking about 5 ways to keep people watching on YouTube, or the best ways to keep people watching on YouTube. When we come to the end of the video, I won't actually let on that we're near the end. I'll just immediately jump straight into a hook for another video. So I might say it like this. I might say, okay, now you actually know how to retain to your audience. Do you know how to actually sell to them? Here's a video I've put together that's going to actually make sure that you can promote your call to action on YouTube efficiently. And whilst I'm pointing, so to speak, that's where I'm going to put that end link on the screen. So I'm going to make that clickable. So yeah, I don't let on them at the end, but I make sure I throw in a promotion for either the most relatable video or the previous video. So let's say you want to make 10 videos in a row. On video number one, obviously, if you're just starting, then obviously you can't promote a video that doesn't exist. So for video number one, unfortunately, for your first video, that strategy doesn't work. So for video number two, all you do then is promote video number one. And then in video number three, you promote video number two, and so on and so forth. So by the time you got to video number 10, theoretically, you've actually promoted more and more and more and more and more videos. And then theoretically, you could then turn one viewer into 10 views, because you've theoretically created a watch time feedback loop, because you're driving people to more and more of your videos in a very catchy and hooky and non-sleazy way. It's a very good practice to do that.
Yeah, and it just a little bit of planning ahead of time on, you know,
essentially, yeah,
that we covered at the beginning. I feel like this is the perfect place to wrap up, just because of how it feels like it's a loop in a way. How do you work with people, Connor?
So what I do is I help online coaches and business owners generate long form video and use that long form video to help with their lead generation. Myself and my partner, Samantha, we've been doing this for 2 years now. We're in our second year of business and we absolutely love this. So we will actually help business owners and online coaches utilize long form video. We will actually create the videos for them based on our previous research. Okay, because of our research, these keywords are ranking very highly in your field. We recommend you go and film content about these. Once they've sent us the footage, we'll then edit that up very nicely for them, turn it into a good looking YouTube video. We'll get that scheduled and uploaded and ready for them on their channel, but it's not just for YouTube. So take this long form video and also as well as YouTube, stick it on LinkedIn. You know, there's not too many people utilizing long form content on LinkedIn. Best way to find us currently is on Instagram as well as YouTube. So if you search me on YouTube, that's predominantly where I spend most of my time. And that's essentially us in a nutshell.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Connor. It's been a pleasure and super valuable talking with you.